Well, last week we talked about how God is guiding us into a series on spiritual disciplines. What are they, and how do we practice them? We talked about what we practice, we get better at. And the spiritual disciplines specifically help us, for one, to not be deceived. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is a big part of that, is about reading the Word. So in June of 2001, I was at Glad Tidings Church in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was at a camp meeting. You know what a camp meeting is? Basically, every night you go into church and they have speakers come in, and you basically just camp out there, hang out, worship, pray, hear the Word, and just pray into whatever it is that God's doing that night. And there was just amazing times that we had. It was that night, it was that week, anyway, that I rededicated my life to the Lord. It was that week that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. It was such a cool week for me, and for a lot of the people that were there as well. And it just came off of that week on a high. Like all of these people that I had been hanging out with, we all did this together. It was just an amazing time to spend in the presence of the Lord. And that week came to an end, and the next week came. And the next week I was actually scheduled to go to a national wellness conference from my college that I worked at. I was on the wellness committee at our college. I was scheduled to go to Stevens Point, Wisconsin, to the University of Wisconsin there for a week-long conference. And then Kelly was on her way to youth camp in Estes Park, Colorado. And so we both left Omaha at the end of that week. She went to Colorado and I went to Wisconsin. And at this wellness retreat, kind of like the Equip conference, there's a bunch of breakout sessions throughout the week. We could choose which classes we went to. And I took some kind of, I don't know, it was a water aerobics class or something like that. I don't even remember what exactly it was. It was in the water. And I met an older gentleman there by the name of Richard. And as we started to talk and get to know each other a little bit, he found out I was a Christian. And as soon as he found out I was a Christian, he said this to me. He said, "Oh, the kingdom of God in me welcomes or invites the kingdom of God in you." And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, but all right, yeah, whatever. Haven't heard that greeting before. And so we ended up just continuing to talk. Class got over, and we went to the cafeteria to have dinner. And as we sat there together, he just began to share scripture after scripture with me, and then to tell me what he thought that all of them believed, what all of them meant. And something in my spirit, I just had a check in my spirit, and I was like, you know, I just don't know that that's true. I just don't know that that's right. And he's like, but this scripture says this, and that scripture says that. And I was like, you know, and here is my issue. You know, I grew up in the church. I grew up hearing all of the stories about Jesus from the Bible and creation and stuff like that. But though I knew those stories, I didn't know the scriptures well enough to say anything to the contrary of what this guy was saying to me. And so I sat there and I listened to this guy and just listened, really, without being able to say much in return. And I remember going back to my dorm room that night, as again, the university, so I was staying in a dorm room, and I remember kneeling down in the dark in the floor of my dorm room. And I remember thinking and praying, was all that stuff that I just did last week, was that all just fake? Was that real? What is it that I believe is true? Was that something that God was really showing me? Was he really doing that stuff in me? Or was that just me? Was that just the excitement that I felt? Did I really give my life to the one, to this one that I thought that I knew, even though I knew so little of him? It scared me. It scared me. I was a Christian at that point, but I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know the Word. I didn't know him very well as a result. You ever been there? You ever been there? Listening to someone talk and tell you what they believe is true, but then something just didn't sit right with you. At least not with what you knew about God at that point in your life. And it's not always someone else. It's not always someone else. Sometimes it's just our own flesh. When what we know from the Word of God that we're supposed to do goes against what our flesh desires, our flesh rises up and says, no, that isn't true. You should do this. This is what makes you feel good, right? Or the enemy. The enemy comes along and tries to say, oh, look at, you messed up again. You must not be a Christian. Yep, see, look at, you're still falling into that same sin. Look at, you must not be a Christian. It can cause doubts in our lives. It can cause us to question whether we're saved or not. And if we don't know the scriptures well enough, we can't take those thoughts captive. We can't take those thoughts captive. And it's no wonder that that kind of thing happens when statistics like this from the American Bible Society said that in 2022, only 39% of adults in America today are Bible users. What's a Bible user? Someone who uses the Bible, right? Well, their specific definition is someone who engages with the Bible outside of church services 3 or 4 times a year. A year. That's not 3 or 4 times a week. That's not 3 or 4 times a month. That's a year. That's a Bible user. 39% of adults in America today engage with their Bible 3 to 4 times a year. A year. The spiritual discipline of reading the Word of God has been lost amongst all the other things that we practice in life. Amongst all the other things that are coming our way, all the information that's coming our way every second, it's been lost. And even though things like Christian literature and videos, YouTube videos, are good, they're good, even that kind of stuff, Christian writings and videos, can take the place of the actual Word of God. In other words, we can know what others say about the Word of God more than we know what the Word of God itself says. Are you hearing me? And so we can hear an interpretation of the Bible, but if we don't know the Bible ourselves, how are we to know what they are saying is true or not? How are we to know? I think about that movie, Jurassic Park, the original one, back in the 90s, where they talked about, I don't know much about genes and DNA sequences and stuff like that, but they talked about how they were able to extract dinosaur DNA from old amber fossils, but it was only parts of their DNA sequence, and so they plug in this other frog DNA into it to complete this sequence of DNA. And that's what I believe that the enemy does as well. He takes one scripture, and then he takes another scripture, and he inserts a lie between the two. And if you don't know the Word of God to know what those scriptures mean, you can believe that lie, which then changes the definition or the context of what Jesus or God meant from those other two scriptures. It's so easy to happen in our day-to-day. Several times after I gave my life to the Lord, I began going around the college campus that I worked at. I worked at a college campus then, and I worked on computers. And so I would go around and I would visit people. So if any of you sit in a computer all day and you were having a computer issue, you would call me over and I would help troubleshoot that computer issue. That's what I did. And so I got lots of opportunities to visit with people as I'm going around and talking to people and getting to build relationships with them. But several times after I gave my life to the Lord, I went back to those same people that I usually hung out with at their desk. And I began to just share Jesus with them in the midst of our conversation. And many times they just kind of closed up. They just became kind of quiet. And if I called them out on that, I recognized the nonverbals. And I'm like, hey, are you okay? Did I say something wrong? You know, that kind of thing. And if they answered back about it, they would ask me a question that I didn't know the answer to. And lots of times it would be a very deep question, something along the lines of, if God is so good, or if he is all-loving, if he is all-knowing, then, fill in the blank, yeah. I didn't know the answer. They were deep questions, one that rocked their faith, if they ever had faith in God to begin with, okay? And if they did, it caused them to doubt and eventually to fall away. Like those disciples in John chapter 6 when Jesus gave a hard teaching and they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can comprehend this? And as a result, many of those disciples turned away and refused to follow Jesus any longer. And one of the first struggles I had as a believer was a feeling that in order to be a Christian, I needed to have all the answers. You ever felt that way as a believer? Yeah. Well, guess what? Almost 22 years later, from June 1st, or June, that first week of June, 2001, almost 22 years later now, I've been walking with the Lord. I've been reading His Word. I've been growing in my relationship with Him. I've been experiencing just His love and His grace and His mercy and His righteousness. 22 years of doing that, having a much better grasp on His Word now than I did then. Guess what? I still don't have all the answers. I still don't have all the answers. That may set some of your minds at ease. The rest of you are like, well, pastor doesn't know all the answers? Doesn't have all the answers? That's right. I don't. But I know the one who does. And I trust Him to provide all those answers that I don't know. In fact, may it never be that I ever think that I have all of the answers. Right? That's what faith is about. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, that which we have not gotten yet. We're hoping for that. And certain of what we do not see. How can I know that it's the way it is if I can't see it? Certain of what I do not see. If I ever believe that I have all the answers, my physical body better be dead. That's all I gotta say. Yeah. But you and I, we need to know this word. We need to be in this word, growing in this word, understanding, reading it, letting it soak into us. That's what we need to be doing. So that in those times when we don't know the answer, and we not only know where to go, but we actually go there. We actually look up those scriptures. Now, this may seem like a silly question, but why is this book so much more important than every other book that's ever been written? Why is this book so important? Because this book is the divine revelation of God to man. This is special revelation. Joy, you were talking earlier about the spider. When we see a spider, God's creation, and we see what it's doing, we're like, oh, God, you're so awesome. That's general revelation. We can see that in what's around us in nature. This, guys, this is special revelation. This is special revelation. It is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God to us. How important is it to have this Word in our hearts? How important is it to be in this Word above any others? You know, the early members of the Pentecostal movement over 100 years ago, they would, wherever they would go, they would carry their Bibles in their hands with them. Hopefully not one this heavy. This one's kind of heavy to carry around all the time. But they would carry their Bibles in their hands with them. They wouldn't put them in their purses or their luggage or their briefcase or their satchel or whatever they had 100 years ago. But they carried them in their hands because they saw this as God's guidebook, their navigation book for life. You think about those Rand McNally roadmaps? Remember those old Rand McNally roadmaps? Which I guess as of 5 years ago are culturally unacceptable now to use a paper roadmap. Everybody uses GPS, I guess, nowadays. But they saw this as their navigation book for life. It was always with them. They kept it with them. They used it every time they had an opportunity. Let me ask you, how do you see this Word of God? Is it something that sits on your coffee table at home and, you know, there's truth in it, and it usually is quoted pretty often in church services, funerals, weddings? Or do you see it as God's guidebook that He has given you, your navigation book for life? This is how you get from point A to point B, okay? From this life to eternal life. This is how we get there. This is how we see the life around us. How you see this book will determine whether you use it or not. The statement of fundamental truths. There's 16 statements of fundamental truths that the AG, the Assemblies of God, have put together. These 16 statements of fundamental truths are not the inspired Word of God, but they are based on the truths that we find in this Bible, okay? And the very first one of those 16 is the Scriptures inspired. The Scriptures inspired. This is the inspired Word of God to us. Do you guys get how important this word is? It is what everything else hinges on as far as truth is concerned. The other 15 statements of fundamental truths are based on the fact that we're given this is the inspired word of God. Now prove what is truth. Okay? It's how God tells us who he is, how he saves us, and thereby giving us an invitation to receive that salvation, that we may have eternal life. It is the only thing that we know to be absolutely true in this world. We can believe other things as truth, but this is the only thing that we have that we know is absolute truth. Absolute truth. It's what should shape our view of reality. So that when we see the world, we see it from a perspective of truth and not from a false perception of reality. So we need to know his word, and we need to know how to use it. So we do things like sword drills. This is not a scary book. There's some scary things in it. But this is not a scary book for us to pick up and read. Amen? Amen. So, if you got your paper Bibles with you today, you can open to John 17 with me. And we're not going to have any slides up today. Because why? Because we're practicing the spiritual discipline of getting in his word. Okay? We live in a world of convenience. A world of convenience that gives us license to just do the minimal required. In fact, the people that have been inventing things over the last 100 years have made our lives easier with what they've invented. We don't have to work near as hard as we would have 100 years ago, or 50 years ago, or even 25 years ago. But like we talked about last week, in order to get better at something, we need to put in the work. We need to put in the work. If you guys don't know, suddenly last night our website was updated. My sister-in-law has been working on our website, getting it updated, and last night she cut it over, and there's some things that need to get fixed on it. All right, so I apologize for it'll get done. Just so you know, it'll get done. Just bear with us. Practice the fruit of the Spirit, patience, okay? Thank you. But I took a web page class in college back in the 90s, and there was this cool piece of software called FrontPage 98. And in that software, you could use your mouse, and like if you want to put an image on your web page, you just click and drag and drop it on there. Or if you want to change the background of the web page, you just click on the background button, and you select from all the different backgrounds, and you pick the one you want. But guess what? We couldn't use that software in the class. At least not to begin with, because we had to learn how to write the code from scratch. All of the back end code, all the brackets and all the different opening and closing things and that kind of stuff, we had to learn to write that from scratch before we could use the tool that helped us to do that. Why? Because that tool had limits. But the code, you have no limits. You can just type and write in whatever you want. When my dad was teaching me how to use power tools, he first said, "You got to learn how to use hand tools first." Oh, Dad, it's so much easier just to use the power tool. I don't have to work at it. You got to understand what the tool is for so you understand how to use the tool and you don't cut off your hand or cut your finger open or something like that. And so if we're going to practice the spiritual disciplines, we also could stand to have some practice of finding things in our Bible. So no slides today. All right? So have I stalled long enough for everybody to get to John 17? All right. We're going to start reading in verse 13 today. And just for context a little bit, this is the part of the Gospel of John here where Jesus is praying for his followers, for his disciples. Okay? And so we're going to kind of jump in midstream here. And he says in verse 13, Jesus am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they, the disciples, may have the full measure of my joy within them. Joy, this is that other scripture I was thinking about when I said we talked about last month about having the complete joy of the Lord in the Abide series. You know, there's other scriptures that I didn't talk about that still talked about the complete joy of the Lord. So here we go. The full measure of my joy within them, Jesus says. Verse 14, I have given them your word and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, I'm going to have Isaiah C. come up here, because he's going to share with us today a tool that we can use as we read the Bible, something that we can do as you read the Bible. So you can just share with us what that tool is today, okay?
Here, this is what I use for my Bible studies and stuff when I'm by myself or whatever. It's called SOAP, and so each of the letters for S-O-A-P has a different meaning. S is for scripture, so what you want to do is read the scripture and then talk about it, and O is observation, and what you do is kind of like observe like what's around you and how you could apply it to your life, and that's what A is, apply. And that's how you use it in your life. And then P is to pray. So what I use for it is you open to like any scripture. And then, so you write, so as you're reading it, you kind of could like, it's better having it as a group. So then you could talk amongst other followers about what they've written down on it, or having a, like an actual group discussion on it, but also by yourself. You could also like a log for each scripture you're in, and it helps you like kind of dive into the word more, because you're like actually having something to like, you have to print down in your own head by writing on a page, and it's kind of like taking notes for like, say, like for a diary or a journal. For us guys, we would call it a journal instead of a diary, just saying. And so it kind of just works because you're like kind of printing into your head that of how to use the Bible into real life settings. So for example, if you're at work and you're stressed out and you think, oh, well, David picked up a rock and some rope and turned it into a weapon. Why can't I use the scripture as a weapon for other strugglings and issues in life? Like you could have like pain or whatever. You could look at someone who dealt with pain in the Bible and apply it to your life and have that strength of their courage and their wisdom that is applied in the Bible into your life by having it written down. And I use this to help out with kind of focusing and kind of putting my time to actually sit down to read the Bible, because there's times where I'm like, I don't want to read it and don't read it for a while. And then there's a lot of times where I would end up reading forever on it. And so it does help to actually kind of focus. And I mean, everybody has their own ways of like getting into the Bible. So
yeah, thank you for sharing. Yes. Soap. You use soap when you wash yourself, right? Yeah. You wash yourself on a regular basis, hopefully. So just remember, that's a practice that we can do. So this is something that I thought we would just go through one today. We would use the scripture that we just read, and we'll just soap it today, all right? So we're going to read the scripture again, verse 13 to verse 19. And as we do so, I just want you to be in observation mode. What do you observe out of the scripture as we read it today? Okay? So verse 13, I am coming to you now, Jesus says, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, disciples, may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. All right, so I'm going to share a few of my observations that I got out of this, but if you have a journal, maybe you want to write down something, or on your phone. You can use your phone to write stuff down on today. I'll let you do that. All right, well, observation number one. When we receive God's word as truth, there's two things that I see happen here, okay? For number one, it makes us no longer of this world. That's in verse 14 and verse 16. They are not of this world any more than I am of this world, and they are not of the world even as I am not of it. Why? When we accept this word as truth, this word changes us. It changes our viewpoint. When we see that this is the truth, we read in here, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I can no longer live the way that I do because it's not pleasing to the Lord. I need to repent. I need to turn away from how I'm living. I need to make sure that I do things that honor God and glorify Him. And this word is telling me that. It brings about my salvation. It brings salvation into my life. And because of it, we no longer live like the world lives. We no longer blend in like everybody else in the world does. Because the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and begins to have an internal effect on us. An internal effect. When we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, we accept Him as Lord. His Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And we become the temple of the Lord. We become the temple of the Lord. And He begins making changes in our hearts. And as we practice the spiritual disciplines, the more changes He's going to make. The more He's going to refine and purify and get out all that junk. And the more then that's going to change how we live on the outside. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the fruit that Jesus talks about when He says, no good tree can bear bad fruit, and no bad tree can bear good fruit. The fruit that the world produces is not the same as the fruit of those who follow Christ. It's different. For instance, those who follow Christ bear the fruit of repentance in their lives. I was one way, and now I am completely different. The word changes us. It transforms us. It sanctifies us. So that's one thing that happens. The other thing I see is when we receive God's word as truth, the world starts a hating us. The world starts a hating us. Because we no longer conform to the pattern of this world. That's why. We are being transformed. We begin to live differently, and then we become the target of the enemy. Okay? The prince of this world. So those two things happen when we receive the word as truth. Second observation. Only His word is truth. It's in verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It is truth. God's been revealing to me that whatever we say as truth, or whatever we believe as truth in our lives, even if it's a lie, that becomes truth to us. Okay? It becomes what we live by. It becomes what we live by. Even if it's a lie, we can choose to live by a lie that says it's okay to live in sin. It's okay to not be to be in your word. Okay? It's okay to not do all the spiritual disciplines. That's okay. If we believe that that is true, that becomes truth for us. It's still a lie. It's still not true, but how do we know what truth is? We know it by His word. By His word. The Bible is one book made up of 66 littler books written by over 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years, but they all tell the same story. They all tell the same story. Who God is, how He created us, what happened when we fell away, and how He chooses to save us. And so when we observe things from His word, when we observe, those things are always going to line up with what the rest of the Bible says. In other words, we use Scripture to interpret or understand Scripture. My family is reading through the book of Mark right now. It's one of the four Gospels. And the nice thing about it is when you're going through the four Gospels, there's other ones that tell a similar story. And so you read one version of the story, but then you can go to another Gospel and you can read that same story, and it adds on to what that story is saying, so that you get, as an end result, a better understanding of what is happening as we read in the Gospels of what Jesus did. It's like watching a movie. that you get the, like the scene from the end at the very beginning that doesn't really make sense. And then they rewind basically in time and they start playing the movie through that leads up to how we get to that scene so that when we watch that scene again, now it makes sense. It's the same thing. So we're going to bring in a couple other scriptures here. I'm going to have you turn with me to John chapter 1. We're talking about the Word. What is the Word? Go back 16 chapters to John chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It was God. So this Word has been around since as long as God's been around, okay? That's what I get out of that. Now, what is the Word? Okay, well, let's go down to verse 14. What's the Word to us? Verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So we understand that the Word is Jesus Christ because Jesus came, fully God and fully man. All right, now let's go to John 14. We're going to go forward 13 chapters to John 14. John 14 and verse 6. I like hearing the pages turn. John 14 and verse 6 says, "Jesus answered his disciples, saying, I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus declares he is the Word and he is truth. He is the truth. He is the only way to salvation. He is the only truth. And he is the only life, eternal life. As Peter said to Jesus when Jesus asked him in John 6, how about you guys? Are you going to leave too after all the other disciples leave? And Peter says, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you are the Messiah." So, that's observation number two. When Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus is saying, "Sanctify them by me. Sanctify them by me." Isn't that cool how you can bring the scriptures together? Here's the point, though. All of scripture, when interpreted correctly, will always line up with all of the rest of the scriptures, okay? If you find two that you think are in contradiction to one another, it's because you don't have a full understanding of one of those two scriptures. Because they all align together. We need to make sure that we're in his word. All of scripture, when interpreted correctly, will line up with all of the rest of scripture. Observation three, we are sanctified by the truth. Verse 17. Gotta get back to verse 17 in John 17. There we go. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." We are sanctified by the truth. This goes back to the first observation. When we receive the word as truth, we repent, and we give our lives to him, and we receive what? What do we receive? Salvation. Salvation. And when that happens, we are cleansed. We are made holy. That is what sanctified is. It's a Greek word, hagiazo. It means to separate, to cleanse, to purify, or to regard as holy. So only the truth found in God's word is able to do this. This is the point. And this is what happens when we choose to believe and receive his word as truth in our lives. That's the third observation. Fourth observation, last one. Only Jesus is able to sanctify. Only Jesus, verse 19. "For them I sanctify myself," he says, "that they too may be truly sanctified." Only Jesus can cleanse or make someone holy. And so as a result of that observation, we can understand we can't sanctify ourselves. We can't sanctify ourselves. That's important to know. It's not up to us to make us holy. Get that, Christians. It's not up to us to make us holy. We're going to fail at it if we try. All right? Christianity is not about trying harder. We don't try harder to be a Christian. We receive the finished work of the cross. Oh, we can see the cross today. Yes. We receive his word as truth. And then we live by it, by practicing the spiritual disciplines. Listen, Jesus alone is able to sanctify himself, meaning in the flesh that he came in. He was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, okay? He sanctified the flesh that he came in, and guess what? He did it for you, Audrey. He did it for you, Phoenix. He did it for all of you, all of us. He did it for our sakes. Verse 19, he says, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." He did it for us, so that while we live in these bodies, we can be cleansed, we can be made holy, okay? That's not something that we have to wait until we die, although in part we have it now, then we'll have it fully, okay? That's not something we have to wait until we die for. It's something that we can have right now. We can be cleansed right now. We can have relationship with a perfect God right now. Right now. And then those spiritual disciplines help us to practice that relationship with God so we can grow in that relationship. Third part, application. Apply, like Isaiah C said, apply. Now, just because we had four observations doesn't mean there has to be four applications. There could only be one. There could be 15, you know, whatever the case may be. But here, I'm just going to give you one or two. If we receive God's word as truth, then we should be in it. We should be in his word, okay? If it is what is true above everything else, this is what should cap or trump everything else in our lives. Everything else. And then, when we find that the world hates us as we live by this word, that just confirms that what we're doing is right. That just confirms it. Jesus said, "Everyone will hate you because of me." That's what he said. And why do they hate? Because receiving the truth means a change in how we live, a transforming rather than a conforming. A conforming. So that's one application. I need to be in his word. I need to be in the truth so that I know the truth and so that it can transform me. Number two, I need not to try to sanctify myself. I need not to do that. I don't need to put in that effort to try to do that. I don't need to try to do all the good works to say, "Oh God, don't you see all the good stuff that I'm doing? Isn't that good? Yeah, look at all the good things that I've done." No. Those things come out of a heart that we just want to worship him. We want to have relationship with him. Out of all the things that he has done for us, I'm not trying to make it up to him, it's just my result, the result, the effect in my life. Through the flesh that he sanctified and allowed to be hung on that cross for us, he did it first. He did it for us. What do we do for him? Fourth part is prayer. So then you pray into those things, applications, whatever those things are. God, help me to be in your word. Lord, I know I can't do it on my own. I need help. I need help to be in your word. Help me to be in your word. Help me not try to get your pleasure by doing all these good works. Help me not try to earn my salvation or confirm for myself that I'm a Christian by doing all these good works. That's the result of it. That's not my focus. My focus is you. God, help me to focus on you and not try to be about sanctifying myself. Help me to use the effort and the time that you've given me to go after you and follow your purpose and your will for my life. Amen? That kind of a prayer. Rhonda, do you still have your one-year Bible?
Yes.
Yeah. So for those who are looking for, like, you open up the Word and you're like, where do I even begin with this thing? It's like thousands of pages and it's really little print and there's a lot of stuff in here and I don't know where to start. The one-year Bible is a cool tool. It has a basically kind of like a devotion. January 1, there's four pieces that you read. An Old Testament, a Psalm, a Proverb, and a New Testament passage of Scripture. And so it breaks it out like that. So if you don't know where to begin at, it's a great way to begin just reading through that word. It gives people structure, someplace to start. And if you miss a couple days, then just jump ahead. If you continue to do that through the whole year, you're going to have read a lot more of Scripture than what you would have otherwise as you look at this thing and you're like, I don't even know. Where do I start? Amen? So that's kind of a cool one too. All right, I want to take a few minutes here real quick. Christine, you shared a testimony about being in the Word earlier today. Is there anybody else that wants to share something, that has something like, maybe we're talking about spiritual disciplines, what are they and how do we practice them? Do you have a testimony of what the Word has meant in your life? Do you have a testimony of a practice that you found that really made it easier for you to get consistent about being in the Word? Is there anybody today? We're recording, so.
I find that the Lord's telling me a lot of times to spend time in reading the Bible it's more of a one-on-one time or a personal time with Him. Because even like you said, and I'm guilty of this, and I like to go around on the channels and listen to what everybody else is saying, you know? And sometimes I think that's okay, because sometimes I really learn some good stuff from other Absolutely. Christians, you know. Mm-hmm. But when it's like just the me and you time with the Lord, my day goes so much better. Because it's, I don't know, it's nobody else is talking. You're just right here, you know. Nobody's explaining it to you. It's a chance for the Lord to explain it to you the way we need it the most, probably.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Yeah. So the videos and all that kind of stuff help supplement what we know about the Bible. It just shouldn't replace it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, being involved in a Bible study is another way to get into God's Word and to have a discipline, attending Bible studies. So I'll put my plug in right now, Man of Truth. Every second and fourth Monday of the month, unless it falls on a major holiday. But learning God's Word, it also prepares you when you are sharing God's Word and God's message. The Word, did you know that the gospel in itself can be taught out of the Old Testament? It's not just a New Testament thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's many examples of struggles that we can read in there, like Joseph. Mm-hmm. You know, you read the story of Joseph, and it's like, man, what a terrible life. And problem after problem, and all of a sudden you think it's getting good. Boom, he's in prison. But God had a plan. So there's encouraging stories. There's tons of stuff that you can learn that you can apply to your life. So it's important to read the Word, one, so that you know what it says, but the application process will give you a whole different perspective of your own daily struggles and how God can get you through. And like, sometimes God just speaks through a story in the Bible.
Yeah.
But if you're not picking up that Word, you're not getting that story. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder and say, hey, why don't you read this scripture right here today? Mm-hmm. Well, where's that at? Well, if you read your Bible, you would know where it's at.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit will remind you of the scripture that you've already read. I'll give a testimony one time when I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years old, and then a whole process of a year of just God just renewing me, transforming me. And I was really soaking in the Word of God over a period of time. And I happened to go down to a neighbor lady's house that my mom brought me over to. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was just there, and I was witnessing to this young teenage boy is witnessing to this elderly lady, and I was spitting out scriptures. I am like, where in the heck is this coming from? It's one, it's because I believe I read the Word. I had read through the Bible, and God was just, I've read it. It's there. And she was like writing them down and looking them up. And she's like, how do you know this? You're young. You know, I'm just like, I just read it once, you know. And I said, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes the scripture, it says, Jesus, when they bring you forth and you don't know what to say, God will give you the words, what you need to say. So God will do that. And so that's just kind of a quick testimony on the importance of the Word of God.
Thank you.
I've done lots of different things depending on the season of life, but recently I was doing just the one devotion I was getting, or the one verse that would come on my phone, do the devotion. It has a prayer. Great. That's wonderful. Good. But because of women's Bible study, we were going through a book, The Bible in 52 Weeks, a year-long Bible study for women. So I'm like, oh man, I need to get caught up where we're at. So I'd read the chapter or two that she talks about. So I would keep on track with that. So it's great to have accountability, as Jacob said, with having Bible studies. But then after a while, I was like, you know, it kind of wets the whistle. It's just kind of a little drop of water. I was like, I want more. And so then I started actually going through this book and reading the chapters that she says. It's three chapters usually a day. And I was like, oh, this is so much better than just reading one verse, because you actually get the context, kind of like what Jason was talking about earlier. He's not down here anymore. To have the context and the whole story about each person and what's actually happening in their lives, and this is why they did this, and God causes this to happen, and it's, you see God's plan. Like, this doesn't look really good, but now I see, oh, that's what God's plan was for that person or for that nation or for the future, and so that's why he allowed that to happen. So it's really cool to actually read it all, like, chapters together. So I think for me personally, I love a plan. So then I know exactly, I kind of like to check things off. So I did this for today. It's great to have that to-do list so I can say, yes, I did it. But at the same time, God's using that because he created me and to have that check off. But he can also speak to me while I'm making that check on my in my book. So it's been super cool.
Yeah, I think about, is there anybody else?
I know when we, you know, are in the Word, then we're equipped. And, you know, it's just like anybody that goes to a job, if they don't bring their tools, they can't do their job. And we need to be equipped with the Word of God to do our job. And, more than once, I've had people knock on my door from different cult groups, and I've been able to share certain scriptures with them because they're like, you can share it out of your own Bible. That's fine, you know. So I like to read the King James. Go ahead and read your King James, you know. And one time, there was a gal with a younger girl along, and I was telling her my own testimonies about the sovereignty of God and, you know, being able to be thankful even when things are terrible, and just, you know, because he's sovereign and all things work together for good. And she goes, so you actually even believe the bad things are good? And I said, yeah, they're in God's hands and he's sovereign and he could make them not be there if he wanted to, but he's allowing him to be there for a reason, and all things were together for the good. She's like, can I come back here later without my friend? Can I come back here later without my friend? It's like, yes. And it was just because I was equipped to be able to say those things and be able to quote some scriptures along with parts of my testimony that she was wanting to come back later and talk about it some more when she wasn't doing her duty as a door-to-door knocker, you know. And then also, there was another time when there was a couple of men that came out in the yard while I was out, watering my garden or something. And they just happened to be leadership from the church in one of the cults up, half an hour away. And I started quoting some scriptures to them, and they were asking me questions that were having to do with their errors in their scripture, in their teachings, in their group. And I was answering the questions pretty good to them, and they're like, well, I can see you know your stuff, you know. And it stopped. It stopped them from, you know, being able to press on with what their error was. And then there was another time when this gal and her friend, a younger, it seems like you always have an older and a younger girl come to the door. And it just so happened that she was from somewhere like Superior. And she was there for a conference at the local cult church down the road. And I started answering her questions. And she was like, so you believe this and this and this? And I said, yes, I do. And I have scripture to back that up, if you'd like to. She said, I do. And then she's like, could I come back later? And could you show me some more of those scriptures? And I was like, yes, I can. And so she went away, and she actually did come back a few days later, and she was the wife of some major leader in that group in Superior. And I had gone online and pulled up 3 pages of scripture that showed Jesus was God. And, you know, that's one of their main errors. They don't believe Jesus is really God. They believe he was, you know, this or that, but they didn't believe they don't believe in the Trinity. And I gave her that list of scriptures, and she went away with them in her hand. No, she never came back. Of course, she lived up in Superior. But I really felt like, you know, I don't always answer the door when they come knocking, but the Lord used me, and it was because I was equipped, because I knew some word. And so he's going to use you in ways that you don't even think, if you equip yourself. So go equip yourself.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good. All right. Yeah, I think about that too, is being equipped and not knowing all the answers. As we close today, I think about, you know, the effect of this man in my life. This National Wellness Conference drove me to get in the Word because I didn't know it. Now, there could have been 2 things that happened on that floor there in that dorm room. I could have said, I don't know that I believe this is true, because I'm not sure how this all lines up. This is not the God that I thought that I knew at one point, you know, or that I heard about growing up as a kid. I could have said that, you know. I could have got up and I could have walked away at that moment. I didn't have all the answers, you know. But instead, I chose to believe that what God did in my heart that week before was real. What he does in our lives is real. And he has a plan for every single one of our lives. He wants to bring us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. He wants to set us free. He wants us to no longer walk in the darkness, but to live in that marvelous light that comes from him, you know. But every single one of those opportunities, we have a choice. Every single opportunity that we have to doubt, every single opportunity that we look at the Word and we're like, well, this doesn't make sense, or someone points something out, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense, well, I don't know what I believe anymore, that kind of thing. I'm in the same place as well. There's times that I read the Bible and I'm like, oh, I don't understand what you're saying here, God. But instead of just turning it away and closing it up and just being like, well, forget it, I'll, you know, and allowing that doubt to stir, no, I go into his Word and I'm like, what is it? What is it that I know to be true in his Word? And then from that scripture, then I look at that other one, and it helps me to make more sense of it. And so it's something that I struggle with as well. I'm not arrived, like I said, I don't have all the answers. But I know that all the answers are in him, and I trust him to provide those answers. If you're going to grab your Bible today, stand up with me as we close today. I'm just going to grab our Bibles today. If you don't have one, just grab the one in front of you. And let's pray together. Let's just commit, with God's help, to reading this Word. Father, we just give you thanks for the Word that you have given us. That Word is Jesus. It is Jesus. Everything that Jesus spoke was the actual Word of God. So we thank you that we can have this word, this living word that changes us, that transforms us, that makes us new when we receive it as truth. God, help us to receive this word as truth. Lord, help us to make sure that this truth and what this word says goes above every other thing that we ever hear, every other thing that anybody else says in this world, that your truth would be first and foremost in our lives. God, for it teaches us truth. Help us, Lord, with your help, to commit to being in this word regularly, that we would hide your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. We would hide your word in our hearts that we may be set free when we know the truth that sets us free. Help us to hide this word in our hearts so that we can take all of those other thoughts captive and make them obedient to you. Yeah. And help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we can then share the truth with those around us. Thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.